Lucy Sweeza came through the front hall on her way in from the polo fields. She needed a shower before the Vicarios family showed up for dinner and had let Esme's half-brother ride her pony cool. That was one reason, and the other was that she'd seen the little red mail van driving up to the house. Philip had been sending her a note every day. When she was lucky, she got them before anyone else. She picked up his note and a message cube from Esme and took them up to her room. She read the note before she showered, stripping off her sweaty clothes and tingling all over from the phrases he'd used, as well as the cooler air wafting in through the window. Tonight the parents would have their final meeting, and after that, they would be betrothed. After her shower, wrapped in a fluffy white robe, Lucy fed Esme's cube into the reader in her room and brushed her hair as the message came up. Esme was fine. She hadn't heard back from Baron about his family yet. Brun had sent her gorgeous samples of embroidery and sketches for a gown. Fleet had a lot of silly rules about who could marry whom, so she was having to fill out lots of forms. Lucy paused, pinned up her hair, and glanced at the clock. She still had time. She made a long arm, pulled her cosmetics closer to the cube reader, and tried to do her makeup and watch the message at the same time. Fleet didn't approve of officers marrying land brides.
So resign.
Sure enough, the next bit was a long, rambling apology, and then the admission that Esme thought she should resign. She wondered if Lucy was interested. Lucy was interested. She leaned in toward the mirror and applied lip color. No matter what anyone said, there was no way to play polo and end up with soft, moist lips without using cosmetics. The message continued. Lucy kept an eye on the clock. She liked her cousin. She admired her intensely. But Phil would be here in 25 minutes.
Oh!
Esme's wonderful idea of settling the women from Our Texas and their children on Sweeza lands took her by surprise. The eyeliner she'd been applying so carefully swiped up and away, a dark streak across her face, before she caught herself.
What? 19 women and their children? Dozens of children? All to be settled on Sweeza lands? Idiot! Fool!
Then she caught sight of her face in the mirror, and the clock, and the anger roared in her like a brush fire. Lucy dashed into the bathroom, nearly trampling two of the younger children.
Lucy, what happened to your...
Be quiet! Stupid Esme! Ridiculous Esme!
It was a good thing she'd left, and a good thing she wanted to resign as land bride, and Lucy would pluck her hair herself if she had a chance. The Vicarios family had gone back to their city house by midnight. At this third of the formal meetings, alternating from one family's home to the other's, the parents had been pleasantly relaxed. The exchange of gifts, the ritual speeches, the contrived, but still effective, unexpected visit of the priest who put her hand in Philip's and tied a silk scarf around the pair of them had all gone without a hitch. Lucy and Philip had a few minutes alone in the rose garden as their elders watched from the lighted doorway. He kissed her respectfully on the brow and murmured her name. Philip went with his parents when they left, of course. From now on, no more stolen moments, let alone hours, in which to discover each other. From now on, they were formally betrothed, and that betrothal had its own rules. Maddening, perhaps intentionally so. Lucy filched another stuffed date from the tray a sleepy maidservant was carrying back to the kitchen and followed her father into the library. Her uncle and grandfather, already relaxed in chairs by the fireplace, looked up as she came in.
Lucy, you should be in bed.
Papa, I am not sleepy.
He raised his eyebrows at her, but she didn't move.
Papa, I had a message cube from Esme today.
Esme... Now there's another problem. Berthold, did you get anywhere in the Landsman's Guild?
Nowhere. Oh, Vicarios won't oppose us, but that's because of Lucy, and his support is half-hearted. It would be different if she hadn't left so young, I think. And they don't really remember her, and even though they awarded her the Star Mount and consider her a hero, they do not want a land bride, any land bride, but especially our land bride, connected to an Outlander family. Costco told me frankly that even if she moved here and also her husband, he would oppose it. Nothing good ever came from the stars, he insisted.
And the votes?
Enough for a challenge, Cassie, I'm sure of it. No, the only way out of this is for Esmeo to come and talk to them herself.
Or resign.
Or resign, but will she?
She mentioned that in her cube.
What? Resigning? Why?
Her precious fleet seems to think about us the way the Landsman's Guild thinks about them. She says they have some kind of regulation forbidding officers to marry land brides.
Oh, and do they have one forbidding officers to be land brides? How ridiculous.
Are you serious? They have something specific about land brides? How would they know?
I don't know. That's just what she said. And she said, why didn't we take in all those women brought back from our Texas? She was sure they'd fit in.
She what? Aren't those women...
Free birthers and religious cultists. Exactly.
But the priests will object.
Not as badly as the Landsmen's Guild, if they hear of it. Dear God, I thought she had more sense than that.
Oh, she is in love. Apparently, Fleet is taking Baron's salary to pay for their upkeep. At least some of it. And Esme's trying to help him out. 19 of them, after all. And all those children.
At our expense. Well, that settles it. She'll have to resign as soon as I can get word to her. The trustees will certainly not approve this, if I were willing to let it be known.
Casimir gave Lucy a hard look.
You didn't tell Philip, I hope.
Of course not.
I hope she does name you land bride, Lucy. You'll be a good one.
Lucy had a sudden spasm of doubt, wondering if she was being fair to Esme, who after all had had so many bad things happen to her. But underneath the doubt, the same exultation she had felt when Esme gave her the brown mare. Mine. It's mine. I can take care of it. Nobody can hurt it.
I wonder if we could place an Ansible call.
Surely it's not that urgent.
What if she just packs them up and ships them to us? Better safe than sorry.
She won't. I'm sure she won't.
Lucy didn't know how she knew, but she knew. Probably by now Esme had figured out for herself why it was a bad idea, and the next mail would bring apologies.
I hope not. Oh, do go to bed, Lucy. I'm exhausted.
Lucy gave him a kiss and went up to bed, sure she would not sleep for the warring emotions inside her. She undressed quickly, hung her clothes up, and slipped naked between the sheets, taking great lungfuls of the fragrant night air. She hoped Esme felt this way about her baron. If her poor cousin couldn't be land bride, she at least deserved a great love. Esme came onto the bridge to find Captain Solis scowling.
Ugh, now what?
I was afraid I'd lose you.
Lose me?
New orders. They're sending me a new exec, and you over to line ships again. I knew they would eventually. Even though we can always use someone with your talents in SAR, they consider it a waste.
He handed over the message cube.
It's all in here. We'll be dropping you off at Topaz.
Topaz? That's a civilian station.
In transit between ships is a good time to use a few days' leave, Lieutenant. Assuming you have a use for it.
Baron...
Esme's heart hammered. Now if she could only figure out how to manage it.
Navarino is in Sector 6. Gerfalcon, I hear, is going to be detached from picket duty and sent back to Castle Rock, and thence to Sector 1.
Solis did not crack a smile, but she did. She knew the regulations. All she had to do was show up at the right time. The route she chose from Topaz to Sector 6 HQ was her own choice. There was at least a chance that she could meet Baron at some intermediate station. If she could get word to him. If she could get leave.